This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for Worship with Us.
What good are the Ten Commandments? That's a very common question in our age, and today we're going to ask the author of those laws to tell us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray today that as the church has again this glorious opportunity to proclaim your word around the world, that there may be many hearts that will be opened, that they may be receptive to what your word has to say regarding the law, but especially the gospel. God, without you, our lives are so filled with confusion that we know not which way to turn. But with you, you can give us joy, peace, and an understanding and structure that will make this life worth living. We pray for those blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Time does not permit us to read this whole chapter, which we should do, but let me just give you a few verses from it. In verse 19, what then, Paul asks, was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred to had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law. We were locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, what good are the Ten Commandments? Or you might ask the question, what is the purpose of the Ten Commandments? That is a very much discussed question, which solicits many answers in our day. Let's consider some of these answers, and first we'll take a look at what people are saying. People who have different ideas regarding what God's law is and how it should be treated in our day. And then we'll take a look at what God says, for after all, you know, he is the one who is the author of the Ten Commandments. A very popular answer in this postmodern culture of ours is, the Ten Commandments have no real purpose in our day. There might have been a time when they did, but today when we have people who are really thinking, it just does not make sense to ask them to try to govern their lives by 10 commandments talked about for many years and given to us hundreds of years ago. These people say that there are no absolutes in our day and age, no absolutes for all situations. For example, stealing and lying may not always be wrong, especially if it benefits a good cause. Can you believe that? And yet that's the way that many people operate in our day. Unfaithfulness in marriage might not always be wrong. For example, if the relationship between the husband and wife is already gone, what is it to be faithful to? Maybe the spouse has been institutionalized with some illness for a long time. Does that mean that person has to remain a prisoner from the standpoint of having a sexual partner? Cut it out. Unfaithfulness in marriage until death do us part might have been good for great-grandma and great-grandpa, but it does not speak to the society of which you and I are a part. Because this is a conviction of many people, that there are no absolutes, that the law of God really doesn't have much purpose. We are a nation and a society and a whole world that lives with a great deal of confusion. Well, there are those who are a bit more pious, and they say these commandments are very important. And so they become the basis, the very, very basis, the core truths of their religion. Obedience to the commandment will win them favor with God. For example, the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule is my religion. That's enough for me. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's all law. And I build my religion around it. How sad. This is found even among church people. Church people who hear every Sunday the law and also the gospel take the law home with them. Thou shalt not. And don't seem to be able to comprehend at all what the gospel is all about. That's the way that it was among the Christians who lived in the Galatia area, places where Paul had gone. And he had told them the story of salvation. He had clearly said to them, there is a law and there is a gospel. And the gospel is what brings you home to heaven. It is a gospel which tells you how your sins are forgiven. It is a gospel that sets you free. In the book of Galatians, which we are studying in part during these weeks and for our sermons, we come today to the third chapter. Time, of course, does not permit us to preach on that whole chapter, but let me just take two or three verses that come from Paul, the inspired pen of Paul, which is the Word of God. Since it was God who gave the law, what was his purpose for it? And this is what he begins to say. The purpose, asking that question, the purpose of the law, is not a new question. St. Paul asked it, and I read it in our text this morning. He says here to these Galatians, what then was the purpose of the law? Why did God give it? St. Paul goes on to talk about the history of the law. And then he tells us that grand story of the covenant that was first established by Abraham. Now, the covenant was a promise, and it was a promise that came from God to man in about the year 2000. During that time, he took this man, and he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And from that nation, there will come one who will be the Savior of the world. That was a covenant. That was a promise. And it was that Savior who was yet to come that Israel was raised up to be the father and the mother of. It was from that Savior that we grew into a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is from that Savior that we have a relationship with God to live with him both for now and for all eternity. So, the people, the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, were blessed with a covenant. The covenant, the promise to be a blessing, and God would bless them. Or as we have so often said, you are blessed to be a blessing. And out of that great nation, there was to come one who was to be the Son of God, the God incarnate, who would set us free from our sins and restore us into fellowship with God. So it went along, and there was Abraham, and there was Isaac, and there was Jacob, and there were other great leaders. And then 430 years after that covenant was given to Abraham, God gave the law. We know that the law came through Moses. God revealed to him 10 commandments, and these commandments were given so that the people could understand how God wanted them to live. It revealed God's will for them. It was very important that they have the law, but the law could never bring them into relationship with God because the people could never keep the law. Well, then what is the purpose of the law? The law, basically speaking, has been given to us today as we have it in the Word of God that is before us. It says, before faith came, we were held prisoners by the law. We were locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put into effect to lead us to Christ. In the various translations of the Greek text here, there are certain words that are used. Some say the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And the schoolmaster in those days was a person who took the child from the home to the teacher. He was not the teacher, but he led him to the teacher. Now then, Paul says, and this is one translation of this great text, the law is that not the school teacher, but the master who brings you to the teacher. And there standing before God Almighty are these commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You honor your father and your mother. You shall not steal. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And so it goes on and on and on. This is the way that God would have you to live. That was the law. How is it used today? Would we say then, okay, we'll keep these commandments and God will wink at us and he will bring us into the kingdom? There are many people who believe that, and so they attempt, to some extent, to try to live by the law. It's good to try to live by the law, but it can never bring you into a relationship with God. That has to be the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is that God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ and suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. When we trust him, then we are forgiven. Then we are restored into fellowship with God. So then, for our day, the law first is a mirror into which we can look and we can see ourselves. How do I compare myself as to what kind of a person I really am? You know, you can begin to make a comparison with various people in our society, especially if you'll use several of them, and build a pretty good case for yourself. I used to say to my confirmation class, look, standing before you today is really quite a guy. Obviously, I was trying to be facetious, but I was trying to catch their attention. I said to them, you know, I don't commit adultery. I have had one wife for a number of years. I've always been faithful to her. I go to church every Sunday. Sometimes I go to church many times on a Sunday. Not only do I go to church and sit in a pew, but I stand in a pulpit and I preach. I'm a person who doesn't steal. I don't cheat on my income tax. I could tell the examiners if they wanted to come into my home and I would show them the money that I got and what I spent it for if they wanted to know that and how much I paid them. I'm not a drunk. In fact, I am for all practical purposes a teetotaler. But I know some friends who are really helpless alcoholics. That's the way I could go on. And I stood there with the kids in front of me, and their eyes were as big as saucers, and they said, wow. There are many of us who do this. You know, we say, well, we aren't too bad. Look at the way the world is living, and aren't we doing a pretty good job? Aren't we doing a pretty good job until I stand before the law of God? And I only have to go to that first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I begin to realize how many things that I have put before God. What does that say to me? It says to me that I am a sinner. I can go further to each one of these commandments. Sure, I can say, I have never killed. Never have I pulled the trigger and brought somebody to his or her death. But if I read in the Bible in the interpretation of that commandment, where the word says that if we hate our brother, we are guilty of murdering. How often has hatred not popped into my heart, into my head? And here I stand before God Almighty. I have not in the flesh committed adultery. But sometimes when I think of the impurity of my thoughts, I realize how I have sinned. I have not coveted in the sense that some have and really went out and got into trouble because of the greed. But oh, I am jealous. Oh, there is greed in my soul. Which way shall I go? It is the law of God that has been given to me. We examine our own life in the law of God. When Nathan came to David, David, who was God's great man, the king of Israel, he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had seen to it that her husband Uriah was killed. And Nathan ministered to him and told him about a vicious man who had been guilty of taking from his neighbor a little ewe lamb. The neighbor didn't have very much, but the rich man needed the lamb to feed his friends who were coming. And so he went over and just grabbed that lamb, killed it, and fed it to his guests who were going to be there. And Nathan said to David, "What do you think should happen to that man?" And David said, "That man deserves to be dealt with. He should be killed." And then Nathan says, "Now look how he uses the law. David, you are the man." And David, in front of his eyes, saw what he had done. Uriah only had one wife, and David took that wife and committed adultery with her. Uriah didn't have very many possessions. David had a whole kingdom, and God would have given him more. He took Uriah's life. And David then turns, examined by the law of God, the purpose of the law, to say, "I have sinned." Then comes the gospel. Then Nathan says, "And the Lord has forgiven your sin." The law is our pedagogue. The law is the one who leads me to Christ. And after I have been under a conviction of my sin, then you have the outstanding Savior with his outreached arms standing there and saying, "Come. For if you will confess your sins, I will forgive you." And so he could say to the Galatians, St. Paul, "Oh, foolish Galatians, why do you try to make your religion law-centered? Can't you understand that it is Christ that you need? And I have come here and I have preached the gospel to you, and you believed it, and then you throw it aside because some Judaizers come in and say, well, you got to have law and gospel." The law is good. It shows us what God's will is. It brings us to a conviction of our sins. It cannot save us. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ alone that saves us. Many, many years ago, in my internship, I was at a church in Racine, Wisconsin, Gethsemane Lutheran Church, one of the finest congregations that a person could ever hope to have his internship in. And during the course of a Bible study, there was this little gospel song, chorus, that was taught to the children. It says it all. "Open mine eyes, O Lord, open mine eyes. Into my darkened heart, let thy light arise. Show me myself, O Lord. Show me thyself, O Lord. Show me thy truth, O Lord. Open mine eyes. What's the good of the commandments? They drive me to Christ. They show me how my Savior really wants me to live, and I haven't been able to do it. But if I will confess my sin, then he will give me the grace to be forgiven and the power and the strength to go on and to seek to do his will." Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes in
Father, we give thanks to you for your law that tells us so clearly where we have sinned. We have broken that law in every respect. And yet, O God, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you that it is not depart from me, but rather come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will grant you forgiveness. You are mine. And then we can go forth to live unto thee in faith, because we love you. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought your heart spiritual comfort with the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, T.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.